But if I was Bismarck or Rudy, where would I expect Flashy to run? North, for certain, towards the coast, less than 100 miles away. So, that was out of court. Of the other directions, which was the least likely for a fugitive? All were hazardous, since they would take me long journeys through Germany. But south seemed the most dangerous of all. By God, the last place they'd expect me to make for was Munich, at the far end of the country, where all the bother had begun. My legs trembled at the thought, but the more I considered it, the better it seemed. They'd never believe I'd risk it, so they wouldn't look their way. It was horribly chancy, but I was certain that if Hudson had been with me, that was the way he'd have pointed. Let me get a horse, no matter how, and I could be over the Strachan's border by nightfall and galloping south. I'd have to beg, hire, borrow, or steal changes on the way. Well, it wouldn't be the first time. I might even use the railway if it seemed safe to do so. At any rate, I was free for the moment, and if they could catch old Flashy with the wind up him... Well, they were smarter fellows than I thought they were. I hurried on down the hillside and found myself after half an hour or so on more level land, where the trees thinned out. There was a wisp of smoke coming from behind a copse, and I stole forward cautiously to have a look-see. There was a little farm building with great trees behind it, but no one about except a few cows in the field to one side, and an old dog drowsing in the yard. It didn't look like the kind of place where the new ducal consort of Strachan's would be known, which suited me. The fewer folk who get a glimpse of me, the less chance Bismarck's bully had of getting on my track. I was wondering whether to go forward boldly or scout round for a horse to pinch, when the farm door opened and an old man in gaiters and a sugar-loaf hat came out. He was a peasant, with a face like a walnut, and when he saw me, he brought up short and stood glowering at me, the way country folk do at everyone who hasn't got dung on his boots. I gave him a civil good day and told him my horse had thrown me while I was riding in the Jotun Gipfel. Could he oblige me with a remount, for which I would pay generously? And I showed him a handful of crowns. He mumbled a bit, watching me with the wary, hostile eyes of the old, and then said that his daughter was in the house. She turned out to be a big strapping creature, plain enough in the face, but just about my weight. So I gave her my best bow and repeated my request with a charming smile. The long and the short of it was that they sat me down in the kitchen with some excellent beer and bread and cheese, while the old man went off round the house, and presently came back to say that Franz had gone to find Willy, who would be able to borrow Wolf's horse, no doubt, and if the gentleman would be pleased to rest and eat, it would be along in a little while. I was happy enough with this, for neither of them seemed to have any notion of who I was, or rather, who I was supposed to be, and it gave me the chance to get something under my belt. They were both a little in awe, though, at having such a fine gentleman in their humble home, and seemed too tongue-tied to say much. If the dotard hadn't been there, I dare say I could have had the buxom piece dancing the mattress quadrille within the hour. But as it was, I had to confine my refreshment to the victuals and beer. After an hour had passed, though, I began to get restless. I'd no wish to linger here, with Rudy possibly combing the Jotun Gipfel for me already. And when a second hour passed, and then a third, I became feverish. The old clod kept assuring me, in answer to my impatient demands, that Wolf or Franz or Willy would soon be along with the horse. An excellent horse, he added. And there seemed to be nothing to do but wait, chewing my nails, while the old man sat silent, and the woman went very soft-footed about her work. It was 4 hours before they came, and they didn't have a horse. What they did have, though, was weapons. There were 4 of them, hefty lads in peasant clothes, but with a purposeful look about them that suggested they didn't give all their time to ploughing. 2 had muskets, another had a pistol in his belt, and the leader, who was a blonde giant at least a head taller than I, had a broadsword, no less, hanging at his side. I was on my feet, quaking at the sight of them, but the big fellow held up a hand and made me a jerky bow. "Highness," says he, and the others bobbed their heads behind him. My bald head was evidently better known than I'd realized. Uneasily I tried to put on a bold front. "Well, my lads," says I cheerfully, "have you a horse for me?"
"No, Highness," says the big one, "but if you will please to come with us, my master will attend to all your needs."
I didn't like the sound of this, somehow. Who is your master, then?
If you please, Highness, I'm to ask you only to come with us. Please, Highness.
He was civil enough, but I didn't like it. I want a horse, my good fellow, not to see your master. You know who I am, it seems. Well, bring me a horse directly.
Please, Highness, he repeated stolidly. You will come with us. My master commands.